Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Help Stop the Genocide in American Ghettos, Blog Talk Radio, Weekend Edition. My name is Emmanuel Barbie, and I am your host. Tonight, my guest speaker will be Elder Shamel Lockhart. She will discuss her ministry after I give my brief presentation. I created this show as a way to give people on my friends list an opportunity to promote their products or services with my listeners from around the globe. If everyone on my friends list would just read my story or share my book information with their family, friends, places of worship, and at their local community centers, this could help speed up the process so that I can be in a position to hire qualified people to help me run my Christian organization. And that's the whole purpose of this Blog Talk Radio show, is for that to take place. I can't do everything. I'm just one black man with a plan. The only thing which is preventing me from starting my Christian organization is the lack of manpower and the capital. This is why I turn to social media to get my message out to the public through my blog, through my YouTube videos, my social groups, my blog postings, this talk show, and now through my revised book, The Solution for Black America, Reclaiming, Rebuilding, and Restoring the Urban Ghettos in America, second edition, which is available on Amazon.com. In my book, I offer a 21st century strategy about what my organization would do to help end urban violence while at the same time improving our inner cities in America, starting in Chicago. I provide a link to my book under the comments section on my Blog Talk Radio show. You don't have to wait till my book is on the bestsellers list to work with me. This year, I'm looking for 10 individuals within the United States who have read my story and meet the qualifications that I'm looking for, which are as follows. I'm looking for investors, business partners, Christian entrepreneurs, social entrepreneurs, and philanthropists who will work with me in setting up and starting my nonprofit as well as my for-profit Christian organization as mentioned in my revised book. My organization is private in order for me to weed out people that just don't care about our inner city youth, their families, or the black community. GRCAM is open. GRCAM is the acronym for the Grassroots Community Activist Movement, which is open to all law-abiding citizens, all racial groups, and undiscovered artists. This is my contribution back to my community, society, and throughout the African diaspora. Without further delay, here is my guest speaker, Elder Shamel Lockhart. So please just hear what she has to say, and we'll take it from there. If I have any calls, the phone line to call in to speak with her directly is 646-668-8698. Hello?
Hi, Emmanuel. How are you?
I'm fine. So just tell my listeners a little bit about yourself and about your ministry, and then whatever else the Lord lay on your heart. You're the only person that I'm going to be talking with this evening, so have your way. And if you do get cut off, that's because our time has ran out. I believe I have about 25 minutes left, but just, try to use that time wisely, and go ahead.
Okay, I'll try to keep everything compact. My name is Shamel Lockhart, Elder Shamel Lockhart. I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina. I was born and raised, how Emmanuel called it, the ghetto. We came from humble beginnings. I experienced a lot of the things that most African Americans in I would call poverty at-risk communities experience. It's a whole array of things that come along when you're grouped in that class or that category. In my family, my personal experience, we experienced domestic violence. I also alcohol and marijuana use. I was gang affiliated, dropped out of middle school in seventh grade, was promiscuous, even sold drugs and that type of thing. Those are a lot of the elements that take place when you are in that type of environment. All the people around me are circulating in and out of jail. I know all the pitfalls because I experienced it firsthand. But my mother is a dedicated Christian, and she has been since I was before I was born. I was about 3 or 4, but anyhow, she's very strong in her faith. And although she experienced all those things in her spiritual journey, she had great faith, and she just prayed. There was terrible things in our home, brothers selling drugs. I was selling drugs, doing everything in our home. She had to work full-time, which is one of the elements. I'm going to keep it compact, like I said. But anyhow, at 15 years old, I had a nervous breakdown and actually had to be institutionalized at mental health. And I began to have a battle between my flesh and the spirit realm. And God, you know, just kept dealing with me. Either you get your life on the right track with me, or you're going to continue to self-destruct. So I chose God, and I've been a dedicated Christian ever since.
Amen.
And I've had great success with all of my educational experience. I'm about to complete my associate degree in business administration, marketing, and retail. I could have a PhD by now, but I've worked in many job fields, healthcare, marketing, and retail. I've had my own businesses. I've been a part of business ventures. I've been around a lot of people with experience and money. To give me guidance, I've also had about 16-year experience in educational career with Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools. I have an arsenal of certifications and job skills, but that sums me up. I've also been a minister for about 15 years, and I've been married for 14, and my husband is a pastor.
Okay, cool. And I remember that you did send me, a website to, I believe that's your ministry. Is that correct?
Yes. My ministry, I'm a community advocate, and I work on different projects community by linking all the services to businesses that provide a good economical service or event to the public, not just businesses, but nonprofits that are already existing, spiritual leaders, just about everybody who we are accountable to who have access to our people. And
now, are you just,
mm-hmm.
if I'm not mistaken, in the Carolina area, or what state are you, help people from?
Yes.
What part of the state?
I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina. And the name of my project is Kingdom Citizens Community Advocacy, and my focus is the Queen City Kingdom.
Okay, great.
And, we do a lot of outreach work and community awareness and empowerment, because I think those are the key elements that we need to be able to succeed.
Well, what I want to do is I'm going to try to get you in contact with Mr. Have you ever heard of Mr. Calvin Logan?
No, I'm not sure.
Well, anyhow, I believe he said that he was on my show on Thursday, but anyhow, he's located in, I believe, South Carolina, so I am going to try to get you to get in contact with him. He has a local TV show And so, you know, he promote Christians, and, you know, this is what this is all about. You know, that's how come I'm trying to get people to come on my show that have, you know, that's doing positive things. I want to connect them with other people, too, in terms of trying to be a blessing, so that way they can, you can get more exposure. Blog Talk Radio is cool. I mean, I have a global audience, but, again, you know, I just have to keep getting, it's up to the Lord, basically, to touch the people's hearts, especially that's in my groups, you know, to come on the show and promote their stuff. I mean, I have a lot of people that's in my groups. They're in the ministry and stuff like that. But for some reason or another, they ain't, you know, taking it to the next level to come on here and promote their stuff. I don't charge anyone a fee or anything. You know, this is my way of trying to give back, trying to be a blessing. It's not just about me just trying to sell a book, because, again, my book is just that's just the beginning. I'm called sort of like Nehemiah to, you know, to rebuild. Nehemiah was called to rebuild Jerusalem, and the Lord has called me to help rebuild our inner city, starting here in my own city here, city of Chicago. Once we're established here in Chicago, we're going to expand to 10 other cities within 10 states. So that's where I'm at right now. I'm blessed to have Sister Renee. That's a person that the Lord has touched. She lives in Wisconsin, and the Lord touched her heart to purchase my book, well, my first book, and she read it. And, you know, she didn't complain or anything about the fact that my publisher, they didn't edit my book, even though I paid for editing and publishing. But the Lord touched her heart to work with me, so I'm grateful for that. And I'm trying to find just 10 people, you know, that's willing to neither come here to Chicago or that's around the Chicagoland area to, you know, be on my management team, so that way I can get this thing moved from behind a computer. But for right now, this is where I'm at, so I'm taking this serious. Again, I want to just connect with other like-minded people, especially Christians, for us to expose our what we're doing, something positive. Those are the people that need the exposure, not these criminals. People that's, you know, doing bad things, they're always portrayed in the media. And so that's not fair to just generalize, you know, or focus only on the negative things that, quote unquote, the black man is doing or the black woman, you know. So I want to change that. That's what I'm trying to do through my organization. And I'm praying that the Lord would bless your ministry that you're doing in North Carolina.
Thank you.
And, you know, that you will be able to be well-known just as T.D. Jakes is. Amen?
I agree with you. Amen. Because one thing that I do as well, I network with business and church and all these different people, but I also promote the black-owned business. I have over 15 black-owned business partners. They contribute donations and contributions, but time and sweat equity is huge. If we all network and work together, we can get a lot more accomplished. And they come to my events. I don't charge them anything to promote their business, and they set up, and it works out pretty good. So I'm like an Esther for my people going before the king. And one thing that came across my mind is Leviticus 5:5. It says, when anyone becomes aware that they are guilty in this matter, they must confess in what way they have sinned. So if we know that all these things are going on around us that have been created, you know, purposely, whether it's at your doorstep or not, it should bother you that something needs to be done. We know that the problems exist, but we know the why. We know that they exist, but we need to know the why, and we need to know how to fix it. And not just knowing about it, but actually doing something about it. There's a lot of people that does a lot of talking, but when, you know, it comes down to it, there's very few that are actually going to get the job done.
Amen. And I just want to share this again. You know, whenever you're able, you know, I just want, you know, for you to you know, read my story. You know, that's all I'm asking. And also share that with people that's on your Facebook friends list, because that's what's going to help speed up this process. Because I have to be honest, you know, I've been doing this for 25 years. You know, and things is not getting any better here in my city right now. Chicago is considered the murder capital in America, and that's very unfortunate. And so, you know, I mean, that's the reality of what's going on. But I am speaking prosperity and over this situation, that this organization will come to pass soon. But again, I'm praying, and me and Sister Renee, we and both of us is praying too, but and I'm asking you for your prayers as well. But I just want to connect with like-minded individuals. That's all, because I keep running across a lot of naysayers, and that's the main thing that's kind of hurting me. So instead of me asking for donations, the Lord put in my heart to ask people to read my story. He told me to write the vision and make it plain according to the book of Habakkuk. And that's what I've done. And I'm selling, you know, the ideas that the Lord put in my heart and mind. And that's what we're going to carry out. And we want to make Chicago a model first before we expand to other cities. And we want to reach out to the African immigrants that's in the United States to work with us, so that way we can expand it over to 10 countries in Africa. Because it's not just, you know, the problems that's plaguing black America is just limited to here. It's also problems over there that the Lord has put on my heart to help improve the economy over there in Africa, give people legitimate jobs through this business, so that way we can build up our communities, make our families stronger, healthier, and safe, and everything to be safe. That's all I'm trying to do. So, you know, again, the devil, you know, he's doing his job. You know, he's trying to make people, you know, be small-minded, to keep trying to deter me and all those things. But I'm strong, fast in my faith, and, you know, I'm doing the best that I can as an individual.
And Emmanuel, one thing I would like for you to be encouraged, because it's always going to be the naysayers. They wanted to kill Joseph because of his dream. And in sales, we learned that you will get 100 no's before you get that one yes. So you just have to broaden your horizons with the population of people that you're trying to affect. And this problem is playing us all over the world. Everyone looks at us as if what they taught us, what they exploited us and made, you know, a stereotype around the world. They looked at us as being subhuman.
The problem I have with that, though, too, is that a lot of our people, because we have doctors and lawyers, we have a professional black middle class, and those are the people that I'm trying to connect with. That's what I wrote the book for, too, you know, not to just sit up here and just have, you know, debates and all that stuff, and also, you know, just sit up and, you know, complain about, you know, slavery and stuff. That was a very bad experience our people went through. But I'm saying now in this day and age, you know, let's focus on what's going on now. Urban violence, that's a big thing that's destroying our people, especially here in the city of Chicago, and not just Chicago, in all inner cities across America. Drugs, gangs, and, you know, guns. And that's just really, you know, wiping our people out. So I want to start there.
I believe that it all stems from somewhere. And I accumulated a couple of things that just kind of all lined up and made sense. And those things are, I'm sorry, I've been working feverishly trying to get my outreach. I've been given a deadline challenge to meet. And that's what my main focus has been. But this is my passion. I want to write books and different things. Anthropology, William Lynch methodology, the letter and what he taught slave owners to teach, you know, how to control their slaves. Psychology matters, the economics, and if you view the statistics all those things kind of line up to help see how we have gotten in the shape that we are in. As a class system or a caste system that has been created for the low economical consumer, and that basically is the at-risk poverty community, and that happens to be mainly black people. It's us.
That's true. Yep, but I forgot this brother's name. He's on the tip of my tongue. He wrote because I read his book too. It's called White Privilege, Black Slavery, something like that. Black Labor, White Privilege. But that was a pretty good book, and I think his name is Dr. Anderson. Have you ever heard of him?
Yes, I think I have.
Yeah, so he said, you know, he's saying, you know, some good stuff, but, you know, again, those type of people, he has a PhD and all that stuff, but, you know, it's called, his organization is called the Harvest Institute. Now, only problem I have with him is that he's supposed to be located somewhere in Washington, and, you know, he's talking about, you know, slavery and everything, but he's not trying to create jobs in our inner cities. This is something that the Lord put in my heart to do through this type of organization. There's no black organization in my city willing to work with me. I've been reaching out to them for the longest. And that's, again, why I wrote my story. Because I want to connect with people like yourself and other people that, you know, doing stuff positive to share my book information, you know, with your followers. So that way people can get another perspective. Because as we sit up and, you know, just try to use, you know, slavery, which was bad, but, you know, we use that as, I would say, as an excuse for us not to go further. Because our people, you know, they created the Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, you know, bit after slavery. But
I'm an abstract thinker and I pull from different places, but the main thing that stands out to me from that letter, it says, I have a foolproof method of controlling the black slaves. I guarantee that every one of you that is installed correctly, it will control the slaves for at least 300 years. My method is simple. Any member of your family or overseer can use it. I have outlined a number of different differences among the slaves. And I take these differences and make them bigger. I use fear, distrust, and envy for control purposes. And then it goes on to say, take these little simple lists of differences and think about them. On top of my list is age, but it's there only because it starts with the second. The second is color or shade. There is intelligence, size, sex, size of plantation, status, on plantations, attitudes of owners, and it just goes on and on. Distrust is stronger than trust and envy, stronger than respect or admiration, but it just goes on and on and on. But when you think about it, this is how we still act. This is the way we still go on with each other. You know,
amen. And guess what? I talk about that in my book, too. And that's one of the things that I'm going to declare war on once the Lord bless me to get this organization up and running in Chicago, a war against this Willie Lynch mentality within the black culture.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, you know, it's going to start. See, this is the only reason I made it private is because I would be dead and gone, and this organization still won't exist. But as long as, you know, I'm reaching out now, I'm reaching out to even my non-black sympathizers, too, to come on board. You know, I want this to, you know, for it to be a blessing for everyone. But, you know, at least I am focusing on trying to help single black mothers, single black fathers, and low-income two-parent families in our inner cities. That's our focus, and that's what we want to do, strengthen the black family as well as improve the inner cities, make it safe for kids and stuff to walk down the streets and stuff like that. Can't do that stuff alone if people don't, you know, want to, you know, give me a chance.
don't think that you don't have a chance. A lot of us doing good work out here, you can't be discouraged. If it's God's will, it will happen. It will happen. And if, you know, we can't, you know, physically or whatever, for whatever reason, do the job, the ball will be picked up and kept going, because I don't believe that God's word goes out void. This is a need. We get better and better throughout the different generations. But I think, you know, we are a chosen generation.
Amen. Yep.
Have died.
I agree.
And believed in the cause so strongly, you know, they thought of the cause being so much bigger than themselves. And this is bigger than us. This is so much bigger than us. There's so many problems. Problem ranges from child care, the public school system, employment, higher education, housing, the criminal system. You know, we have a lot of things to work on, you know, because of the breakdown of the family structure, you know, credit or financial planning and investment, a lack of factual information, you know, information and direction and guidance. You know, it's a whole list of generational differences in mindset, you know, based on, you know, their elements that they grew up around. You know, all that plays a part. You know, but the solutions are there. Accountability and acceptance is the start.
Amen, yo. And another thing, too, for me, is I'm trying, again, to reach out to our middle class brothers and sisters. The Lord blessed me to have a college degree. You know, I have my bachelor's, you know. The Lord allowed me to do that. I did that not to be, you know, just to be seen, you know, and prove, you know, how smart I am, but to go back and actually do what's lacking in our communities, and that is to create legitimate jobs and teach people how to become entrepreneurs. That's what we're going to do in this business.
Exactly, and it's not fair that all these things should seem like they're out of our reach, because they're not. These are the basic things that average people do not have to worry about. It is just common, and it's expected. But we have so many obstacles in our way. By the time that we are of age of knowing how to navigate ourselves, we have experienced so many scars and roadblocks. We're late bloomers. So it's an unfair advantage. We can't compare ourselves with other people when we didn't have the same start, the same mark to start with.
Yeah, I understand, but just a moment. I need to share this with you, and I need my listeners to hear this, because this is one of the problems that, you know, I experience as an African-American. I reached out to African immigrants, and some of them was, you know, a little ignorant about our culture, but some of them said, well, you know, the reason we don't, you know, get along with black Americans is because you can't trace what tribe you belong to. You know, that's some of the, I'm just saying, ill replies. And also, you know, they look at that negative media, too, that, you know, black people, you know, especially in the inner cities, they're just lazy. They're criminals and all that stuff, because they feed into what the negative stuff that the media feeds them.
But, you know,
so that's another
reason
why they don't want to really work with us. And I'm letting them know, hey, I'm not like that. I'm not a criminal.
Right, for them, too. That's the divide and conquer mentality.
Yeah.
And I heard, I'm not factual about it, but I heard that when other people, especially Africans, come to the United States, they show them a video of who to stay away from. And they describe us as being just ratchet and ghetto, you know, and they portray the worst characteristics that some people have as being the way that all African Americans are. We all face the different stereotypes, no matter what your status is. You're going to be challenged on your education, of how much you know. You're going to be challenged on every end. Like they said, we have to work twice as hard. You have to do that even among our own people, and it's not fair. But you know what? I don't make excuses. I do what needs to be done. And that's why I think that the solutions are, you know, empowerment and awareness, having unified support. If my skin is the same color as your skin, it doesn't even matter about the skin color, but we are the disadvantaged. So I feel like we should be supporting one another. Over there, in parts of Africa, it's primarily their country. They came over into their country, and they have so much racism and different things to where they're oppressed.
I do want to say this too before our time run out, Elder Lockhart. Lord, please give me recall. But I'm just going to use South Africa because I did use different, analogies, and I point out different stuff to back up, my claims in my book, And I also encourage my readers to do the research, don't take my word for it. And I'm trying to make the book that the Lord allowed me to create to make it interactive so that way I can interact with my readers worldwide. But, okay, I just want to mention this right quick. Although in South Africa, it's not under apartheid anymore, but still that number, 90%, is still unemployed, in terms of the native Africans.
No, I've been being exploited too.
Yeah, I'm just saying, they still, even though it's not under apartheid, they still going through the same, but it's a class system now, pretty much like it is here in America.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, my thing is, I just want to connect with, it's not even, look at these black celebrities, like Steve Harvey, and I'm just calling him out, and Oprah Winfrey. They can invest in our inner cities.
I'm saying? It's a lot of black professionals.
So that's what I'm saying. I mean, there's a lot of our people, that have the means to do stuff, but it's people like me and you that have a compassion for the community and want to do something, but yet we're overlooked because we, quote-unquote, are not famous and, well-established.
I don't even think that matters. As long as, we stay focused on what needs to be done, God will provide. He will make the way. He'll make
it. Amen.
Way.
Now, I do need to tell you this again, if this phone cut off, it's not me. It's because, our time has ran out. What you're going to do is I'm going to suggest you wait for about an hour. It's going to upload, the show. And what you want to do is you want to come back and you're going to look for the current segment. And it should say my BTR show. Guest speaker, your name, weekend edition. If you don't see that, just look for where it says my BTR show, weekend edition. And under the comment section, just put in that your website that you emailed me, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I sure will.
That's all you have to do. And that way my listeners, they can, because I have a global audience. I have people, in other continents, and from Africa, Europe, Canada. So they can find you. So they're going to find it under the archives.
It sounds good.
All right. So I'm going to hold my peace. I'm going to let you say whatever else you want to say. And then if we still have time, I'm going to say a little prayer and just, call it a night.
Is it okay if I just point out a few quick things? If we can stay focused.
Go ahead.
Childcare. Childcare starting with the babies on up to being involved in the schools, knowing what's going on, being advocates for our children, higher education, figure out how to do it without going into debt, trade, having trades if you don't have a high school diploma. I mean, not a high school diploma, but a degree, certification. Be a business stakeholder or have your own business, investment, have healthy emotional health, healthy relationships, effective child rearing, economically sound, have investors, know what you're doing. We can't afford just to be grasping at straws. We have to have a plan of execution. If you don't have one, you'll continue to be learning by trial and error because we perish for a lack of knowledge.
Amen. Yeah, I agree with you. That's how come, like all these protesters, I'm like, I talk about that too in my book. I used to, be out there protesting and all that stuff, but then the Lord opened up my eyes. I'm like, I'm up here following leaders that don't even have a vision.
But do you
so
know
a
what
lot
we
of these people
connect?
That's protesting and stuff like that, though, the financial, I call the real enemy you know, outside of the devil, the financial elites, because they are the ones that control this whole, all this, the economics and everything. Financial elites, they own all the major corporations. They own the banks. They the ones that impose these unfair laws on us. And, you know, so those are the real people that I have a problem with. But
let me tell you, our power is the economical dollar. We spend more money than just about any other race. That dollar holds a lot of power. And if we look at, well, our money, put it back in the community, hold people accountable for the services that they provide, the people we vote for, and raise these issues. I wanted to go out there when we had the protest here in Charlotte because they, you know what the media does, it portrays us to be what they want us to see. But I know people that were actually there, and it was only a few people, you know, doing vandalism and stuff like that, and even the crowd was trying to get them to stop, but the police formed a band of a human wall and started shooting them with rubber bullets. And somebody actually got killed, and I heard that it was done by the police, by an eyewitness that was there, and they found it on a black man. But and they were, you know, even within the community saying, well, you know, they shouldn't be out there doing that, and they shut down the highway, and they just acted ignorant. If we don't say something that makes some noise, we'll keep being ignored, and I'm sick of it.
Amen. That's why I'm trying to share with you and other people. The Lord has gave me a positive vision. We're going to start our own independent political party at the local level. Now, I am going to say this. I mean, you know, you might not like it or disagree, but that's, you know, I just have to keep it real. You know, I'm not a – that's how come people don't like me a lot, too, you know, because I just try to I keep it real. President Obama, I voted for him. You know, I love him as, you know, a person and stuff, but I don't like the fact that he – claimed that he was from Chicago and all that stuff. He helped advance, you know, the gay agenda as well as, you know, protect, you know, he want to protect, you know, illegal immigrants, but yet he ignores the fate that since 2001, over 4,000 people has been killed here in Chicago alone, and Chicago is currently the murder capital. He didn't do anything to help, you know, invest in our inner city. So, you know, I have a problem with that.
But see, to me, I love Obama because he's been working in our communities before he even graduated high school, going through his college career, being a community advocate, going to law school. His whole purpose has been for our people. But he's just one man. You know, he has to look out for the nation. And he doesn't even wield so much power because the government has controlled these unspeakable things that we don't agree with have been going on for a long time, and it really doesn't matter who they put in the seat. You know, they will some control.
That's true.
And influence, but, you
that's
know,
true,
they
but I'm just saying, I mean, my goodness. I mean, I'm looking at this right here about, you know, he even was pushing for the transgender, you know, for them to have, you know, bathroom rights. Now, that's an insult to injury. You know, people, our lives are being lost here, and, you know, they could do something to, you know, at least call in the National Guards, you know, they make people feel safe in the inner cities, you know, at least here in Chicago for a minute. But, you know, he didn't even do that, so that's the problem I have.
If you look at it, the gay agenda is so strong. It's so strong. There's a lot of people all over the place. It's not just limited to different, it's professionals, it's everywhere, and you really can't avoid it. But what we have to do is stick to our morals and stick to our ethics. I love you whether you're gay or whatever. I don't agree with the lifestyle, but they have souls too, you know, and a lot of them have come from a lot of hurt and different things, sexual abuse and different things in their family, you know, but if the spiritual leaders and that they get their emotional health together and different things like that, it's a lot of things that we do that we don't even know why until we take that evaluation and find out what's going on.
Okay, then, okay, what about him, you know, trying to help illegals? I mean, I understand it's not the kids' fault that their parents came over here illegal, but again, you know, if he's stepping out trying to help, you know, protect their causes and stuff like that, what's up about, you know, not trying to, you know, make people feel safe in our inner cities and investing?
I agree with that, but you know, it's just a disaster that's been created because they exploited a lot of immigrants too. You know, getting them to come over here to work and getting them to come over the border and go back, and you know, they didn't want to go back. I don't blame them. You know, if you want to work
I'm saying people's lives are being lost. You know what I'm saying? And there's more people that's been. That's why they call it. You know, young people call it Chirac because more people has been killed here in Chicago than both wars in Iraq and in Afghanistan.
I agree, but I'm not looking to anybody else for us to fix our problems. This is a problem within the black community that we're going to have to fix. We're going to have to do this. And others can help. Others can be for the cause. You know, I love everybody and all races and respect everybody, but this is our problem. It's at our doorstep. It's been going on for too long. We have spiritual needs, emotional needs, nutritional needs, financial needs. It's overbearing, but, you know, we've made strides. We believe that we're getting there.
And I hate to tell you this, but I have to be real. No black churches is willing to work with me in my city.
There's some. They have
I reached out to
them,
you know, in my old neighborhood and all that. And a lot of them won't even let me pass out flyers for my current, you know, revised book. But yet, a lot of them I saw on TV, they proudly, you know, claiming that they, you know, voted for Trump and stuff. These are black pastors. What's your insight about that?
Sometimes we get confused and mixed up. We get off focus. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all riches will be provided. We are even spiritually divided in denominations. This one's right and that one's right. You know, we lose focus, and then we get sidetracked where there are a lot of, like I said, holding them accountable. Their churches used to be the foundation of the community. We've gotten away from that, and we have to get back. And those churches have to be accountable by, you know, not discriminating against those that are not walking the straight and narrow. Just we're supposed to encourage, compel, you know, and love them into Christ. And beyond that, we have to get back into the community. That's the element. And they have to become economically strong and become the model